come with me to 2 Timothy 4. I thought I'd use the verses that I've been using for Made for More, because who knows that the Bible has a lot to say about those that don't know God yet. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 to 8. And this is Paul talking to Timothy, who was about to take over one of the largest churches in the world at that time. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. Preach the word of God. Can anyone say, preach the word of God with me today? And that doesn't mean just speaking up here. More about that in a minute. Be prepared, whether the time is favourable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry that God has given you. As for me, this is Paul now, the elderly man, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. Who'd like to have that at the end of their life? I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Anyone looking forward to his appearing? Now, in these New Testament days, there was a sense of urgency about them. They believed that they were in the end times. Now, that's interesting. 2020 years later, who believes we're in the end times now? We certainly should be living that way. And so the title of my message today is Live Like It's the Final Days. Turn to your neighbour and say, live like it's the end. All right, so Paul gives Timothy a solemn charge to do his duty zealously. In the period of time before Christ's return, this is the final days. We've got to treat it like it's our last day. And so the first point is, live like it's the end. And the phrase, but now in these final days, is not only mentioned in Timothy, it's also mentioned in a couple of other, in Hebrews, and also in Peter, 1 Peter. And 1 Peter continues actually in verse 20 and says this, he was sent to the earth for all to see, and he did this for you. Put your hand on yourself. He did this for you. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God. Anyone believe that today? Through Christ, you've come to trust in God, and because God raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory, your faith and hope can be placed confidently in God. Who's our faith in? Confidently in God. And so I looked up some testimonies because I'm a member of Christianity Today, and I looked up on the eStream thingo, whatever it's called. I've forgotten how I get it, but anyway, one of those software programs. And I looked up some of these testimonies and of recent times in this is May, June 2020. And this is one of the ladies talking about how she came to Christ. And this is the title. I was a new age healer. Then I realized I wasn't the one doing the healing. Looking back, I see how Satan was preparing me to be seduced by one of the greatest dangers of the new age thinking, the false promise of peace through spiritual enlightenment. And if you read the article in May, June 2020, the lady refers to anything but peace as she's having, she's staying up all night, she's having nightmares, she's having all these strange movements in her room, and then she finally decided that she needed to serve one master. And her elderly neighbours invited her to church. And she gave her heart to the Lord and she hasn't left that church since. There was this, someone's having fun next door on the xylophone. There's this Muslim man and this is just really recently, and this is the title of his what he wrote for Christianity Today. I was warned to keep my distance from infidels. Then one prayed for my family. And this is a story of a son of the he calls it the Arabian Gulf. He was brought up in the Arabian Gulf, and by the age of 10, he had memorized the Quran. And his family moved to a new country, and in this new land, they went from wealthy to poor. And all the kids hated that they no longer had any sort of standing in the community. And his Christian friends, who he knew through university, knew that he was struggling to adapt to life and that he missed his family. And they invited him to a church service for prayer and support. Initially, he says, I refused, but eventually I gave in. Entering the church, I experienced a strange sensation. As people began praising God, I felt an overwhelming surge of emotion and fell to my knees. I felt helpless and weak, but also as if someone was assuring me that everything would work out. I didn't understand what was happening, but my friends were confident that it was okay and that God was going to look after me. After the service, I received a Bible and a contact form. I was afraid to provide any details because I knew my family might disown me if anyone discovered that I had visited a church. But I decided to take the Bible and fill out the form with false information. Smart guy. Who knows that the Holy Spirit works regardless. Days later, I started reading the New Testament and fell in love with the character of Jesus. And as a Muslim, I knew of Jesus, but I was unfamiliar with the miracles that he had performed and the claims he had made as the Son of God. It goes on. Would you like to hear what he's doing now? Today, I work for a ministry that shares God's love with Muslims, presenting Christ in a way that connects them with their cultural background and speaks to their interest in the themes of shame and honor. Like Paul, 1 Corinthians 9:23, I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in his blessings. These stories have a common denominator. Other than the amazing power of the Holy Spirit and Christ at work in these people's lives, they all had a Christian friend. Can we be the kind of Christians like Paul, like Timothy, like these friends, truly believe his kingdom is real right now? Jesus is going to do powerful things to bring salvation to those who need a Saviour. Angie and I had a couple over for dinner on Friday night that we've been connecting with for a very long time now. It's actually Andrea's friend, and now my friends as well. And we just sat down just to have a few nibbles. They'd just come to the house on Friday night, I think it was, and the man starts sharing how he's been praying to God. And he said, why haven't you had any video this last week on, because he watches my, what is it called, Instagram little stories. And I said, I've got some for next week. He didn't know how to tell me that he had a relationship with God. And for me, and Andrew and I, I'm like, okay, he's connecting And I'm just believing, can we pray together that this man receives Christ? So this is what is so important about who we are. It's not just about the stories in the Bible, it's about us connecting with those around us and making a difference. Preach the word of God, be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Preach. Not to preach to offend, rather to find common ground and the common interests of the other person and befriend them first. The Muslim man I was referring to didn't suddenly decide to go to church. He first became inquisitive because his friend, knowing his family was struggling, brought groceries to his home. This went against everything they had been taught. In that Christians are the enemy, and he was to despise and fight them. Yet this man was showing genuine concern and kindness. The woman at the well. Jesus wasn't meant to talk to a Samaritan woman. They were outcasts. It was the middle of the day. It was obvious there was something, but he spent the time to get to know that woman. And so, let's live like it's the end. Can we think of someone in our lives that we could be praying for, or maybe you're praying for them now, and let's believe that God's going to do a powerful work. And this is all connected with Leap into Spring, local and international mission. And let me go to my second point. Prepared to do any good work. Can we be prepared to do any good work? We become fully equipped because we are prepared to do any good work. And the word of God helps us in the right manner of preaching. I was talking about the tongs a few weeks ago and being God's utensil, prepared to pick up everything that may require our talents in the service to the Lord. We cannot become equipped for every good work unless God straightens us out through his word. And so Paul talks about this in chapter 3 of Timothy. All scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us and make us realize what is wrong in our lives, Paul goes on to say. And so we can make the mistake like Jaime and Phil that when we think that we know better than others, or when we think that we've got everything right, who knows that it's better to work with other people and have faith together. And enjoy connect groups together. And enjoy doing life together. I love the story of the Good Samaritan. And a Jewish man was traveling to Jericho. And along the way, he's attacked by bandits. Stripped of his clothes, robbed and left half dead on the side of the road. And a religious priest comes along, seeing the man, quickly crosses to the other side of the road and continues on his journey. And an assistant to the priest then comes along and does the same thing and quickly veers out of the way so he doesn't have to get involved in what looked like could be something that would take up his time. But then lastly, a despised Samaritan passing down the same road saw the man and immediately had compassion on him. For the Samaritan woman person performed first aid, took the man to a hotel, gave the manager of the hotel $1,000 and said, could you please just look after this guy as whatever he needs. If you need more money, this is my contact details. Here's my bank account details. I'll cover it. If we are to be useful for our master to use us, we must be prepared in season and out of season. And what I love about Leap into Spring is that we have a faith promise where we trust God that we can help. So we may not be able to go physically, but because we're working, because we earn a salary, we have everything we can do because we're sending others to help those in need. And so lastly, be an example. Be an example of what Christ has done in your life. Live out the gospel. Bring good news however we can. God does not change. Let's live out our lives in such a manner that when something new or different comes along, we recognize it for what it is, a distraction to get us away from the wrong thing, from the main thing, sorry. Let's serve Christ with all our hearts. Preach the word, Paul says to Timothy, and diligently with the wisdom God provides. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me. Is anyone looking forward to a prize? Now, Timothy is a church kid. He has been brought up in church. Church kids know stuff that other kids don't know. Church kids know who's who. Church kids know where the pastor's private stash of chocolates and stuff is. They know how to get upstairs, in our case, when they were younger anyway, and find the goodies, eat the mints. And they're often looked upon, like Timothy would have been, as they should have it all together, which can be both a blessing and a curse. And Paul knows Timothy is a church kid. For God has not, he says this to Timothy, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. Timothy does not have the same battles that other kids or adults may have. He has heritage. He has an inbuilt faith. He is made for more. And so Paul continues that people may try to trip you up. So remain strong in the faith. The truth is, when you are placed in any leadership position, others may have an attitude toward you, be envious toward you. They might want to be you. And so Paul continues, hold on, persevere. Can we be those kind of people? We hold on and we persevere in the faith because we're looking forward to what God has for us in the age to come. Can I have the music team to come, please? That'd be fantastic. Paul's saying to Timothy that when we really serve Christ, it's the greatest adventure we can have. And God is speaking to you and I today through his word. And through our leap into spring next weekend, that it's not, our focus is not to be on who we are and what we have to do and what we need for our house alone. God knows those things, but he's also concerned about those that have way more need than us. And so I'm looking forward to next weekend in that respect. And God himself has charged you with a job to do. Why don't we stand to our feet, church? It is in the presence of God, like Paul was saying about his own life, that he will be weighed. Paul was going the way of all flesh and he was finishing well. And although Paul knew he was a persecutor of Christians in his past life, he also knew that Christ had overcome in his life. And his purpose and his belonging was in him. And Lord, I pray today for every person here. I pray, Father, that we would know that we would know without a shadow of doubt that our purpose and our belonging is in you. And the happiness of the future saints is that we have a crown of righteousness. That although we don't feel worthy, God has made us worthy. Incredible. And Lord, I pray today that in this season of leap into spring, that you would speak with us about our faith promise, and that we would be the kind of people that rise above our own circumstances and our own needs and ask what it is that you would have us to be a blessing to others. So we thank you for this time of year, and we pray a blessing, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Can we live like it's the end? Can we be prepared to do any good work? And can we be an example that others can follow? Maybe you're here today and you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you do feel like maybe you're lacking purpose. You're lacking something in your life. There's an emptiness there. I speak to a number of people during the week and various places, and that's one thing, that there's not a complete assurity or a contentment. Paul is saying to Timothy, it only can come from one place, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our best news. So I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment. For those of you who haven't received Jesus, at the end of this prayer, that we pray together, I'd like you to pop up your hand. Maybe today you know you're away from God, and it's time to get back and re-engaged and have purpose in Him. Please pop up your hand too if you know you've been away from God and it's time to come home. It's time to get right with Him. Maybe you're just not sure. You're not sure you're going to heaven. You can be sure today. If you're one of those three categories, after the end of this prayer, please pop up your hand. I'll see it. You can pop it down again. Thank you, Father. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you died on the cross for me. You took my sin. You took my pain. You took my shame. I'm not good enough, but you've made a way. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Prayed that prayer. You haven't made a decision for Him. You know you're away from Him and you want to come back to Him. Or you're not sure you're going to go to heaven. Please just pop up your hand now. I'll see it. And you can pop it down again.